Turn in your Bible, if you would, tonight, Revelation chapter number 16. Book of the Revelation, chapter 16. I think I will read this chapter in its entirety. Not dealing necessarily with the prophetic portion of it, but I really want to take out of this chapter some very important truth. Chapter 16, he said, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance for God, before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plague there was exceeding great. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. I pray you might bless and work in our hearts. I ask, O God, that you would just cause your truth to ring true within our hearts and teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I'm always amazed at folks who get excited about angels and not get excited about the God who created them. But we stop and we think about the angels, and really their power is awesome. When you look at what took place in these last days during the tribulation period, it is simply out of question, beyond our ability to imagine, that which takes place as God judges this world. I mean, as I read that last verse there, and I look at and I see there, as God is going to cause the islands and the mountains to disappear. Such great earthquake that the world has never known before. and all the things that we find in these vials as they come forth, and the angels who pour them out. But I also find that they have tremendous insight. Did you notice verse 5 and 6? And let me read that again. It says, "And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." He is able to look and to see that because of the righteousness and the holiness of God, there must be judgment from God upon that which is not. But in comparison to their Creator, they are very, very lacking. For God is the all-powerful one. Amen. And yet we look and we find that men at this particular time, as God brings judgment upon them, they believe somehow they can escape it. They're like Pharaoh. We read back in the book of Exodus chapter 5, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." God showed him His ways, and yet Pharaoh refused to heed and died in that Red Sea as God closed it upon him. No man is beyond the reach of God's ability to find those who are guilty of sin. These vials, as we read here, affect every living soul upon the earth. And this chapter makes it very clear to us that no man will escape God's holy judgment, His vengeance upon mankind as it begins. But there's an awful truth that's here in this chapter. And that truth is this: judgment doesn't necessarily bring a change or repentance. Judgment does not necessarily bring repentance. Go with me to verse number 9 once again. It says, "And men were scorched with great heat." And what's it say they did? "They blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues." And then notice these words: "And they repented not to give Him glory." Jump down another verse to verse 11. It says, "And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." And again we find verse 21, "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent." And what's it say? "And men blasphemed the God, blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great." They did not repent, yet they turned their wrath against God and blasphemed Him because of what He was bringing upon them. I want us tonight to stop and look at this business of repenting. I want us to stop and, by the guidance I trust of the Holy Spirit of God, to make some deductions. Because here we find that though God brings judgment, there is not repentance. I find from the Word of God that there needs to be repentance if we're going to be saved. It's not a two-step process. I believe that salvation comes just by one thing, and that's belief. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Faith. That is the thing that saves. But that faith has involved in it a realization of what our sin is doing and the judgment that is coming, and a desire to change our direction. Thus we cry out to a holy God to save our hell-deserving soul. But let's stop and think about it tonight as we think of this thing of repentance and judgment. Judgment may produce a carnal repentance. Let me say that again. Let's get this clear, because sometimes you and I, we look at people and we say, "Boy, look at the change that took place in their life." But do you understand tonight that we can make changes out of our own flesh? Using our flesh, using our will, we can make changes in our lives. This kind of repentance is not a holy repentance. It's not that which is healthy or heavenly. It's not with a renewed heart that comes by the Holy Spirit of God. For we can change some outer appearance, we can change some things that we have been doing, and yet the depravity of our soul remains the same. In other words, the man changes, but he is not changed. Do I make sense? He becomes another man, but not a new man. There can be that kind of repentance. The change comes perhaps in an outer manner, and he appears different, but the heart is still the same. And sometimes we have false repentance because we feel some guilt, and so we seek to change some things in our lives. But there's just all it is a sinner that's dressed up. This repentance sometimes is referred to as foxhole salvation or jailhouse salvation because they're sorry for the situation, but not necessarily for the transgressions. How many kids, when they get caught, they're sorry they got caught?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mama. I got caught.
Not sorry for the action. And as soon as the immediate evil is over, they return to their own ways. There's nothing better than the dog that returns to his own vomit. It's a repentance that comes of self. It comes out of the flesh. And the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. I believe that Herod was extremely sorry that he had made an oath that bound him to taking John the Baptist's head. But it was not sorry enough to break loose from his wicked pledge. And thus, the head of John the Baptist was placed upon the platter for his daughter to have. I believe Judas was sorry he betrayed Jesus. We see that he went out and he hung himself, but he did not return to Christ. He only hastened his descent into hell with the hangman's noose. And he put an end to the last hope that could have been his. Judgment can produce a carnal repentance. Judgment, hopefully, produces a repentance that brings glory to God. That which causes us to turn from the deeds that we are doing and bring God the glory. In verse number 9, it says, this judgment, they blasphemed God. In verse 11, they did the same, but true repentance does not bring blasphemy. True repentance brings glory to the God who brought them to that spot. How many of God's people, after they get saved, say, praise God for what He did in my life? How many, when things have happened that have changed their soul, that they allow that to what bring praise and worship to the God who did it in their life? True repentance is going to have anthems of worship, I believe, for the omniscience of God. It is a confession that we are exactly as God says we are. And we have no cloak over our sin. And God knows everything we've done. And we recognize that. And we confess it to Him. True repentance, I believe, is going to bring worship to us concerning the righteousness of God. It acknowledges the law of God is right and that we are guilty. We don't look at the law of God and say it's too severe. But we look and we say we well deserve whatever it is that God wanted to give. But thank You for Your grace. True repentance, I believe, brings worship in our soul for the justice of God. It's the realization that if God didn't punish us, He certainly ought to. If you're saved tonight, you think to yourself, boy, I know what I deserve. I know what should have come to my soul, and I know what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary should have been mine. And we give Him the glory. True repentance is going to bring worship to our soul concerning the sovereignty of God. As we think about God can do whatever He wishes, and because He chose to forgive us, you and I have the privilege of receiving that wonderful gift of God. I believe it'll bring a worship to our souls. We think about His justification. As you and I, we look and we realize that He is the just one and He is the justifier. And you and I, like Mary Magdalene, are all too willing to get at the feet of Jesus and to wash His feet with the tears that flow from our eyes and wipe them with the hair of our head, because we look at and we think about, here is our God Almighty, the just, and yet the one who caused His justice to ring out on another. And we cry out, oh God, forgive me. It just isn't the anguish of conviction, but also the sense of the blood-bought pardon that God has broken forth of mankind. As He dissolves our hardened hearts, and we come to the spot that we begin to hate our sin with a perfect hatred. We begin to mourn that our sin has pierced the very heart of the Lord, and we hate what has been hated by the Lord. And we now love Him and what He loves. This kind of repentance glorifies God, and it craves after the holiness of God. The repentant person wants to be like Him. That's the desire of the soul. Judgment hopefully produces that kind of repentance. As you and I, as we turn to Him from our sin and allow Him to work in our hearts. Oh, there's the fleshly one. But sooner or later we return, as the sow did to her wallowing and the dog to the vomit. There's something else that judgment might produce, and we find that here in our chapter, and that is a hatred to God. As judgment comes, oftentimes men and women, rather than turning to God, they turn farther away. And they will say such awful things like, well, if God's a God of love, He would not have let that happen to me. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that we do that so often. Do you know every problem we have, every situation that we get ourselves in, is not God's fault? I've heard folks say, well, there wouldn't be any wars if God really is a God of love. No, there wouldn't be any wars if you and I were not so depraved and so selfish. See, my Bible still says that in the book of Proverbs, it tells me very, very vividly, only by pride cometh contention. It doesn't come because of God, because it's you and I. And yet, we have these things happen, and God's trying to wake us up and trying to help us understand, hey, because we have judgments in our life, we need to understand that God one day must judge sin. And for some, rather than turning to God, they turn from Him. I think of Belteshazzar, the grandson, really, of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's on the throne, and he sees the hand writing on the wall, and he calls Daniel to him. And Daniel says, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He said, you knew what happened to your grandpa. You knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and how he ate grass and lived like an animal for 7 years, and how God humbled him. But you would not listen. You would not take to heart that judgment that was there. And now you have to face it. Think of Pharaoh. My goodness. What a stupid guy he was. I mean, literally. Think about it. 10 times God shows Himself very real in judgment. 10 times we find that God, through His prophet Moses, bring some sort of plague, some sort of judgment to help Pharaoh understand, hey, you need to fall down before me. And what does Pharaoh say? I don't know who he is. I don't care anything about him. And even after the death of his firstborn and all of those in Egypt, he says, why do we let these people go? And he chases them to the Red Sea. Do you realize, you stop thinking about it for a moment. Do you realize Pharaoh, anywhere along that line, could have said, I see what God's doing, I change my ways, and you folks go, and I'm going to worship God. But that never took place, did it? And he turned himself from it over and over again until God had to destroy him. This is the man Jesus referred to in John 3:19. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." We live in a time, brethren, I believe in my lifetime I've seen some real changes. I remember when I was first saved, you could talk to individuals about the Lord and people were much more open. But today it seems to be, and there's still people open, by the way, and thank God for that. But there's a hardness that's come, and men love the darkness. Don't want anything to do with the light, and whatever they see that's towards God, they want to ignore and put away. And even have a hatred to God. I never remember in younger years hearing over national news networks or of any kind the things that come off of lips of mankind today. As they spew forth their hatred to God and the things of the Lord. Judgment may produce hatred to God. What it ought to do, hopefully, is to bring repentance to the soul. Yeah. Parents, you bring judgment upon your children when they do things that are wrong. You don't do it because you want them to get mad and to get farther away and to do more evil, do you? You bring those things upon them seeking to correct them and to bring them to the point of repentance. By the way, parents, that's exactly what we're after, is repentance from them. That is the goal. Not just to punish, but to bring them to that place where they are truly sorry before God, and to where they will actually cry out to God and ask Him to forgive them. That's the purpose of it. And that's what we ought to seek in their lives. And that's what God is seeking in our lives. Now, you and I as Christians, if you're saved tonight, you're going to have things happen in your life. By the way, is anybody perfect here tonight? I was going to dismiss you if you were, because none of this applies to you. You all been having a little problem with sin from time to time? Do I have the right crowd tonight? I figured it was Open Door Baptist Church. I learned a long time ago it wasn't a perfect church. I knew that because I look at one of its members all the time in the mirror. And don't like what I see. We have problems with that, don't we? And God has to spank us from time to time. And the Lord does those things not to make us bitter or to chase us off. Not that we just try to clean it up ourselves, but we truly say, "God, I'm sorry." And we seek the grace of God to change it in our lives, because only He can do it. Only He can do it. You have a problem tonight of some sort? Who doesn't? Only He can change it. Really. We keep trying to do it ourselves, and we're in that place where I talked about first, where we're trying to do the repentance in our own flesh. It doesn't work. We need to really see, "Hey, I'm wrong. God, forgive me. God, help me. God, You have got to do the changes. Lord, I don't even know how to let You. I know I'm supposed to let You. I don't even know how to do that. I'm to allow You to do these things, and I balk and I rear up, and but God, here I am." By the way, that's a choice we make, not because we necessarily want to, but because we know that it's right. And we make that decision and ask God to do those things in our lives. God wants to bring us to that spot. By the way, over and over, we have to be open to that. You got judgments in your life, spankings, whatever you want to call them. They might be trials, they might be tribulations. I shouldn't use the word trials. They might be some tribulations of some sort. There might be some troubles that God allows to come into your life. Sometimes it's just to perfect us, but sometimes because we're just plain ornery. And God's slapping our hands to what to bring us to the place of repentance. Let me give an illustration tonight. How many have ever been sick? Sure, we've all been sick. I'm going to step back. That light is bright. Sickness could be one of two things. It could be tonight. It could be a trial that God is using in your life. It could be. But it also could be God spanking us. When we read the details of the Lord's Supper, we see that is there. He says, many sleep and are sickly among you. And so we have that there. And so when you and I are facing different things, we need to seek and find out, is it because God is taking us through a trial to perfect us, or is God spanking us that we can repent and then allow God to do the changing? In either case, God's trying to make us better. Isn't he great? I mean, think about it. All God is trying to do, girls, all he's trying to do is make you better. It's a big job, isn't it, Candace? Pretty good sized job, huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you've bucked at that some. Yeah, and I'm not just picking on you, because she has and he has, and we all do. When we let God do what he wants to do, my, what a marvelous thing that is. Let God bring you to the place of true repentance. Don't get mad at him. Whatever comes in your life, look at it. Is it because God's wanting to make me stronger, or is it because I have been wrong and I need to ask God to forgive me? Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord Jesus, as we look at this chapter, what an awful conclusion to mankind. Because of our sin, because overall we love darkness rather than light. Lord, I pray that those who are saved in this room tonight, I would hope so, Lord, it's everyone, that we might allow your light to shine in our hearts and to show us those things in our lives, to bring us to that spot of repentance. Lord, no doubt there are things that we don't even know are wrong yet that you've got to show to us. And throughout our lives, you just keep doing that. And we might have that kind of repentance that allows you to bring the changes. And Lord, that those things that you bring to try us and to make us better, that just to strengthen us, Lord, that we might allow those to do that, to not be upset and indignant about it. Lord, bless and work in hearts and lives. May your will be accomplished. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.